this was in coalition with the United States and the old Soviet Empire. Read Cal Bergen's writings and enjoy them, that you know what's going on. And everybody better remember exactly what I told you. When we first started speaking, I said 250 miles off your surface will not be tolerated warheads in space. Then, about 3 years later, we moved her down to 150 miles. Well, Mars is just a little farther than that. And you are not going to send red mercury warheads to Mars. And now your idiots can't even find the debris. And they tell you, well, it may land in the outback of Australia. Where are they looking? And who is asking the United States to come help them look? Bolivia. Bolivia is quite a way away from Australia. You, with your pinpoint surgical accuracy, can't find a damn hunk of plutonium that is radiating the entire area around it. Oops! Gosh, aren't we glad there aren't many people in Bolivia. And we have to deal with this garbage in the courts. Well, we're going to deal with both. And I'm sorry, because if Dorma has made it 9 years in this, and she has, we can make it a little farther. And we will. And we have other things that require our attention on a massive scale that really mean something to you. I don't mean just sort of. I mean really mean something to you. We've made those contacts. But if you think I'm going to allow anything else to flow in a haphazard manner where people can walk into an agent's office and steal your corporations, you're nuts. How long do you think you will stay alive when somebody who deals in $10 billion amounts, that happens to their corporation? You're dead. That's what. It's called instant death certificate. We have had to test every tiny detail of corporate structure, and we've tested it under the fire of a courtroom in front of a bench. And we'll keep on until we get it right. In this particular area, we don't need a lot relative to everything else, but you are going to be an isolated group of people. You've got to face the fact that there are already restrictive lists of things. You cannot store much wheat anymore. And there is a whole list of grain, but the idiots didn't know about spelt, so they don't have it on the list yet. It'll get there. Right now, sitting in the FDA offices is a bill to close down the use and production of colloidal silver. What are you going to do, people? What are you going to do without these things? This is just the way it is. And how can they push it through? Easy. They do it in the night and you get an announcement and you're breaking the law if you provide this. But you can jolly well bet we will provide it until that moment. because we do not cross the boundaries of the law, of the land, or God. And that means that each door that shuts, we have to go open another one somewhere, some way. And if we have to, we just go with titanium until they stop that one. And I have a whole lot to go on beyond that one. And they don't know what to call it. A lot of things are going to begin to come down fast after the first of the year. You're running out of time for Plan 2000. And more they can distract you, the better they can infiltrate your mind. And I've mentioned that today. How can you tell? Well, if somebody presents a monster that goes and stomps and kills, you know it was not created by God, don't you? Because you can only have the reflection of the Creator. So if you have created thought forms that manifest into monsters, then your thought forms are not of God. And let us redefine evil. Evil is only that which pulls you away from your course toward God and rightness. And there are all levels of behaviors that can very well be called evil, but it doesn't mean it's some great, horrible, monstrous crime. Sin is simply a word used at a given time, translated, that means error. You made an error, and you have deviated from this path of righteousness. Period. Don't make a big damn deal of it. You don't need to go get crucified for your truth. Somebody already did that. Don't bore us with it. And if I tell you I am serving only God, I come in the reflection of God, I am not going to look like some conjured up monster. I will be the reflection of my Creator, just as you should be trying to be. And you can tell who you serve by the intent within and the reflection you cast back. And if your method of life is to lie, then you are reflecting the King of Lies. Well, isn't a little white fib okay? I am not even interested in your fibs. I am interested in your intent toward truth or the pit. And what passes your lips is meaningless to me. It can hurt other people, however. So you also have to attend the word. But people can pretend all of their life and be evil. And nobody ever knows it. But God and that person knows it. And therefore it is their business. But when their lies slop over onto my space, it becomes my business. And I'm going to get into my business with both my big flat feet. Read today's now. We need a little spiritual upliftment. Ones will say, God, another lesson in discernment. Well, I think we need it. You keep asking.
This is writing from Sunday, December the 8th, 1996. Volume okay. We must each walk our own walk of life. First, we are helpless in a physical shell, unfinished, uncoordinated, untried, and most unstable. Then we teeter about on tiny feet that have no platform large enough to balance our unsteady housing. Then we totter a bit and struggle to our feet, and then on our feet we strain to waddle a bit while trying to do it ourselves. A hand reaches out and we grasp tightly while someone helps us struggle along a few halting steps at a time. Then we find our balance centers, and regardless of our various shapes and weight shifts, we manage to become mobile. Before we toddle, we see, we hear, and we reach out for our caretakers, our trinkets, our very food, which allows growth and life itself. Then we learn to use our hands, coordinated to the eye, the ear, and items connected to the brain's focus. Finally, our minds coalesce with that which is, and we find that we can reach for and hold objects while our mind goes forward and begins to hold great ideas and reaches out for a broadening of our very environment. Friends, even an eagle must first lay helpless and bare in a nest of sticks. We can also speak of that which might become a pet, let us say, for children. Let us speak of the birds because they are gifted with flight. However, there are dangerous things into which a tiny fledgling can crash, and yea, fireplaces where it can actually burn. So what do? We take the flapping creature and feed him, nurture him, love him, and then he grows and reaches out to stretch his wings. Ah, but in the first flights, he finds a world of danger in the form of a cat's mouth, a hawk's beak, a hard world indeed. We do not always lock gates and fences to keep things out, for we must also hold things to ensure their safety while security can be held to surround the creature in its infant days. Each species must learn the ways of its own kind. It is futile to try to teach a fish to fly or a lizard to soar like an eagle, except within the beak of an eagle. You come to a planet in manifest form of being, to experience that dimension of learning, of focus, of service, and above all things, to make choices which lay foundations for all the soul experiences ever to come after. You cannot soar in the heavens if first you do not learn to choose to walk in a density of compressed civil realization. Therefore, readers and beloved listeners, you have to go through that groping, searching, and finding of the teachers who will show you the way to those higher realms of living and offer you the correct choices for choices which bring joy to the being and wings to the soul. You cannot simply do lip service to some idea as presented to your mind by someone else. You must experience the realization, the knowing, the wondrous allowance of doing. Intent is one thing which guides and establishes direction. Actions are the manifest activity of expressing that which you learn. Those intentions can be in any direction, or good and bad, right and wrong, and yet they must be. God has an agreement with you. He does not go about forcing you to be anything. He allows you to become what your intentions and wishes cause you to want to become. If you become, in intent, a tool of evil displacement of God Creator, then those choices will bring whatever consequences might be the reward for that choice. It is called cause and effect. If you lie, you will meet your lie head on somewhere, sometime. If you bring others into your lie and cause that other to innocently become your entrapped prey, you err greatly, for now you have not only chosen wrongly for self, but caused another to have the effect presented by ignorance and wrong realizations. You will judge self more harshly at the meeting with God for that one action and intent than all the other things you can conceive, for you will bear the soul misdirection squarely on your back. Forgiveness. Is it ever too late to rectify and make restitution for these foolish and misdirected actions and intents? Not as long as breath and heartbeat bring conscious realization to a body. However, to fully realize the efforts of restitution and forgiveness, you must first ask permission from the damaged one. Forgiveness at this point rests with the damaged, but it is not the true focus of the moment. The true focus of the moment is whether or not you can ever again regain trust and love and confidence, for forgiveness does not mandate any of these states of mind. If, in addition, a man moves to forget, he errs, for only in the remembering can he ever hope to move within God's grace. He must learn how to remember, learn and know, and only then can he reach out to understand forgiveness. And there actually is only one kind of true forgiveness, that of forgiving self. Unless a person is totally brain damaged, he cannot forget a misdeed which has brought pain and eternal memory. And by the way, if you claim to want to forgive and forget, you are again copying a plea to that other party, who responds as a cornered chicken about to be plucked. Perhaps I can better explain my own meaning with this statement as by suggesting that you who wish to train your children to have good manners, learn to give and take, share and be socially gracious, you will often, as caretakers, cause a child to say, "I'm sorry," after a misdeed is placed into action. Is this wise? Yes and no. If the child is truly sorry for his actions, it is worthy. However, a child is usually not sorry, in truth, for his actions. He is only buying off the caretaker with meaningless words of a lie. You teach your children to be dishonest and allow them to train you. I, as a teacher, am no different than you as a parent. I must cause you to realize that in truth there is responsibility, and it is not all right for you to break the laws of God or man, and it is not okay to simply damage or bring hurt to another for any reason, to simply fulfill your own attitudes and maladjustments. I will tell you, who are so close to me, that we grow enough, and it is finally becoming evident that evil intent only tweaks the senses, and that tweaking is only in brief passage, as you come to realize truth and honor are always intact when you know and practice goodness. Lies cannot ever become truth, no matter how many or how big the lies. Therefore, if you only hold to truth, then and only then will the lies meet their own makers. And you shall prevail in all encounters before the truth of God reflected into the manifest causes of man. Interactions in social aspects of expression are not friendships. They are simply that which allows mankind to function, graciously or ungraciously, in the presence of you and in the give and take of those social interchanges. Friendship, however, is that which comes from soul expression and is rare indeed. And moreover, you will not damage your friend if that person is truly your friend. You will weigh each controversy against that which is God's intent within each action and honestly evaluate actions as reflections of inner intent. If people see a hovering light in the sky, what are the possibilities? If anyone present knows for sure what it is, then you can suggest that you know and share it. If, however, nobody knows for sure what the object is, why is your opinion worthy of anyone else's attention? You may or may not be correct in your assumption and assertions, but if you deliberately bear false witness and others simply follow your input, you both err, for you shall be made publicly idiotic and make of yourself the fool. Only you can make of yourself a fool. Your espousing about me, for instance, does not make me the fool, if you are incorrect. I am exactly who I say I am, and all the rathers on your part does not make one iota of difference. Further, all your prattlings and lying will not change me one iota either. What you think of me is none of my business, and I can only offer pity for your blind state of being and realization. You had best go check your historical records, even though they are pretty scarce and pretty butchered by the already come before liars and cheats. Please do not think that you can abuse and disuse me or those who honor, in truth and justice, our friendship. for your intent will surface and make you appear an even larger fool than you first appeared. You further will not simply address the circumstance wherein you have hurt or damaged, yea, even me, as, quote, we will now resume our relationship. I have something to say about resuming anything if you be the one who caused the hurt, even in ignorance. If the intent to damage was not present, there would have been no actions which reflect the same. In other words, if you deny me, I shall deny you. And if you have betrayed once, you are capable of betraying again when the circumstances are such that your ego disagrees with truth. You see, you work on opinion, while I must first function on truth and what is. This in no wise means that I cannot be in your presence or yours in mine, whichever you choose. I can tell you now that I never go forth to anywhere where I have been denied. Therefore, if you are ever in my presence, it is because you have come into my space. I don't care how many hatons you conjure. If there is deviation from the concept of truth, then you are not entertaining me. I do not present as other than that which I am. But I can present in any form I choose. I often finesse. I do not manipulate as in a physical perception of definition. I negotiate, but I do not compromise that which is good or right or truth. Further, when my adversaries lie about me, I shall tell truth about them. Anywhere I have audience, when you meet me, you can know it. I will protect innocence. I reveal and present that which is wrong, unjust, untrue, or simply evil in its most minute pagination, wherein I have reason to do so. If you do not wish this revelation, I suggest you do not bring your miscalculations and lies within my spaces to dump onto the souls of others who expected better of you. I will not sacrifice one right and or truth to lies. Truth and lies. I further must remind you that a lie is not that which escapes the lips in audible sound. Those are words, and may or may not be truth or lie. It is intent within the inner self being expressed in actions which constitute the lie versus the truth. If I say, remember Pearl Harbor, as in yesterday, and continue and say, yes, 8th of December, you may well correct me in that you perceive it to be the 7th day of September, of December, in recognition of a date of infamy. However, I can point out to you, one, I had gave wrong input. Or I could say, well, in Eastern South Africa it was the 8th. Does this make either one a lie or truth? Of course not. And only concept can be evaluated against intent. When, however, you act in ignorance and find truth to be different than you thought or were told, what do you then do? If you compound the lie to cover the error, intent becomes the thrusting force, compounding the error. When, in addition, you act in wrong actions against another or society, it becomes morally wrong. When it crosses the line in deliberate intent expressed in action, it becomes criminal intent. A man is what he thinks. However, only God knows for sure, for unless a man acts in reflection of his thought, the deceiver may forever remain an acceptable person. That does not mean he has fooled God, even though he has perhaps even fooled himself. Indeed, the lessons are many and sometimes very difficult. However, my mission here is not to make your lessons either easy or rewrite the rules so you don't have to confront truth versus lies. If a tree's leaves are basically green, and I am speaking in descriptive color in English, and yet I call them purple, does this make the leaves purple? And yet there are burgundy purple leaves on certain varieties of trees. But if you are unwilling to learn about the tree of which I speak, you cannot even judge my speech, and much the less my intent. I may well speak of yellow or golden leaves, and this can mean many things, from a dying tree to a fall setting to someone simply spraying yellow paint on leaves. Let us look at a closer to home example. Let us assume that Dharma thinks she speaks messages that come from, say, Jesus Christ. Is that not unlike a preacher who speaks at a church pulpit? You may not agree with either one, but the statement is in point here. You, however, do not know what Dharma really thinks. So your statement at best can only be that Dharma, in my opinion, thinks. But does it stop there when the enemy is afoot, as in the case of Abbot Horton Green et al., who told the Associated Press persons that, quote, Doris claims to be Jesus Christ? Then ridicule becomes foisted off onto the topic, and a judge makes a ruling using that information without further investigation. Who is wrong? Doris was not even present. Doris has never claimed to be anybody except herself. Now, if a man, to win a ruling by deceiving a judge, will act over and over again in this manner of false witness, do you really think he will have changed his spots when the more damaging things to his case are presented? Next, when those same people use the article presented by themselves in lies as backup for their further lies, does it make it so? No, it causes you, or should cause you, to discount every other thing they tell you as fact. If there are more than one storyline given as fact and truth, then only one can possibly be truth, and probably none are truth. There can be more than one reason, but if the reasons directly conflict, then you have excuses. There can also be more than one valid perception, but that does not make all your perceptions truth, even though they may well be real to you. Heading, So why this lecture? I need to speak on these things because it appears that all do not understand this fact of presentation. If you have 10 people observe and perceive a given incident, you'll have 10 versions of the same thing. But when the same person has 10 versions of a single fact, you have wrong information, probably from all. You must take a fact and build all against the known fact. We can use George Green here as a perfect example. George took gold and said he took gold. All else is simple speculation on the part of all others, and possibly at first, including George, as to reasons or excuses. Given the known fact, however, the rest of the story can be constructed, and it can be correctly constructed once you have a compilation of his own tales and that which is witnessed and that which is documented. From these investigations, you ultimately can come up with a judgment, as with a jury, although you may well never know the whole truth. However, if the same man, George, tells 10 tales about the same thing, you have to suspect that some of the tales are incorrect and all are intentional and misleading. Does this make George an evil-intentioned man? Yes, it does, because evil is only the distraction from truth, no more, no less, and the intention of deceiving is present in this example. Sin is simply an error in the same given format. Neither makes George evil or sinful. Only the act and tale can be judged. The next important thing to confront is what happens next after the first deception. Are there more deceptions, or does the man in point bring forth in honest integrity the gold and clean up the mess? Well, no, George compounded his actions in now unlawful and criminal cover-up. George will say he, quote, took the gold to the court and asked them to hold it. Did he? No. He was ordered by the police to dig up the gold from its hiding place and take it to the security of the court. George had so many choices to do the right thing that it is boggling to the senses that he chose the most negative of all decisions, to lie, cheat, further deceive, and finally blame his own victims and pray. This reminds me of a child who is sitting on a bench with its mother awaiting a bus, and along comes a murderer and shoots the child dead. Then you go to court and the verdict is that the murderer is innocent because the child should never have been waiting for a bus at the bus stop. It may well be all right to climb a mountain because it's there, but it is not all right to commit a crime or a theft because it was there. Further, thinking about George's actions, let us consider all the tales he waggles about, quote, why didn't Rick tell Eckers? Or Charles must have known, why didn't he tell? And on and on. In other words, dump the blame for your own actions as if the taking is all right if somebody else knew and didn't tell. How, however, does this make Eckers guilty of Green's foolish theft? This, even if everybody else knew. But the worst outcome is exactly what has come to pass. By sucking others into your lie, you make criminals of them as well as self. But, sir, you ask, isn't it all okay if I just allow and accept those poor people into my closest circles of confidence if I want to? Oh, yes, but you may not bring them into my circle. Do you see the difference? Further, you may not serve up my trust and confidence in you to them in order for them to further damage that which is mine. In addition, if you choose to do this kind of manipulation, you have chosen against me. Do you see? You have wittingly or unwittingly betrayed me. Confusing? No, it is not confusing, and claiming confusion is the highest form of lying to self. When a friend uses you, that was no friend, and I will keep reminding you of this fact until you can comprehend my message. You can be in the room with two masters, and you can serve tea to both. But you cannot, in consciousness, serve both in truth if they be divergent in flow direction, if one be of Satan of lies and the other be God of truth, and you know the difference. You can only be confused until you know facts, and in all things you can learn facts. And if it be your soul you are trying to attend, is it not worthy of the investigation so you have truth in facts? Now for the punchline. The biggest bother that all of you espouse to me is, quote, how can I tell if, or whether, or easy. If a thing or person be of God, that thing or person will reflect God in truth and goodness in like energy. If a person be conjured or manufactured by Satan, it will present as a damaging, destructive, deceitful reflection of its source. If aliens are presented as devils, then they are of Satan's handiwork and conjured storyline. If they be of light, then you had best consider they be of God, and the dark shadows of deceit will be lighted even unto the most tiny corner and crack. I am not a monster or a winged anything. I am the reflection of God in light. I further can only be that which I am, for all else is but pretense. If I reflect the lie, then it is because somehow I serve the liar. If I serve only truth, therefore I can only reflect that perfection of my Creator. If I cannot discern, then I shall strive always to find that which reflects truth until I can discern. I can only discern through the realization of judgment, of presented actions. I may well, like you, find a bird that looks like a duck, swims like a duck, has web feet, sort of quacks, etc., and consider it a sort of duck until I find that it is a goose. Or perhaps a platypus. So you now have to consider the quack, honk, or squeak, any one of which can present a misperception. We can now take this a step further when it comes to beliefs and attitudes. Does green habitually misdirect you? How often has Dharma, for instance, misdirected you? I did not say Dharma, so let us not confuse things here. Who has taken from you secretly that you know about? What have either taken? Given? Upon what can you base the beginnings of investigative conclusion as to who might well be the more trustworthy? Only through that which is action can you realize probable truth. Next, do you believe that George would bring back Overton's gold if no one had caught him in the theft? He didn't even acknowledge to Dave Overton as to further hide the product. So, is the getting caught in the action or the actual meaning and intent of the secret which is hurtful? Both, but one to the physical, which is transient at best, and the other to the soul, which is eternal. Who seems to hate Doris? Who protects Green? Is this not important in your conclusion, search for truth? Indeed, the greatest gift I can receive is not that a bunch of non-thinking sheep will move along with me. I want open thinking and wise people with me. I don't want you to do something because I say to do it. I want you to do things you do because you know it is the right thing to do. Neither do I want you to believe anything because I say it. I want you to come to believe in truth because you can discern and know truth. I cannot be you, so therefore, all I can at best represent to you is as a teacher or a messenger, and possibly from me you can better find truth. However, if you refuse to come out of the pit of lies, then I have no choice in the matter but to leave you there. Learning of all things in reality is the one thing that nobody can even pretend to do for another. Along these thought patterns, you also have to realize that you cop a plea in so many cute little fringe ways as to be astounding to your own realizations. Let us look at smoking, and the one who says, I stopped smoking, and the one who actually quits smoking. One is so temporary as to be only an interruption after you finish smoking whatever you're smoking, and the other indicates a ceasing of the action. Therefore, you can honestly say that I am trying to stop being deceived by the liars, which is far more appropriate than I quit hearing the liars. Why? Because you will always be in a position of hearing lies and truth, and you cannot always know which is which at the moment of impact. Now consider the fence sitter who refuses input. This is the biggest lie of all, for it says clearly and loudly, without ability to argue, that there is no wish to know truth, for with truth acceptance comes responsibility. In an example for this attitude, it can be drawn from O.J. Simpson's Guilt or Innocence. You don't have to know, unless, of course, you are the jury judging the case. Everyone else simply can guess, opinionate, spew and spout anything they wish, but with sitting on a jury, you have accepted the horrendous responsibility of judging a man's actions, which will forever after impact the very lives of both the man you judge and self. My opinion is of no importance in actuality if I keep it to myself, and neither is yours, unless we come to impact the person and circumstances surrounding that opinion as expressed. What I think of you is none of your business. What I think of OJ is none of his business until I express it and act in such a way as to impact him, and then it is his business. This is the same as your opinion of me being none of my business, but when your actions regarding that opinion of me is expressed in deed, action, or word, it becomes my business. Furthermore, if that action or word is expressed in false witness or lie, it is even more my business. Taking it even further, if you simply act and express in another's opinion about me, it is certainly my responsibility to respond, because it has now gone beyond my business and into the realms of responsibility to correct the injustice or incorrect information flowing forth, which may well reflect off onto others who recognize me or have friendship or acquaintanceship with me. We each are responsible for each and every word we speak and deed we do, whether or not we accept it. Herein lies the secret of the ages as regards individual man. He is gifted from God Creator with ability to reason, think, choose, and decide the level of accepted responsibility for self. You must decide whether you become the truth or the lie. In this there is no cop-out of religion or any kind, for religions are simply the doctrines of one group or another, headed up by the ruling authority of whoever holds the most force. Power is that which is held individually through truth and acceptance of responsibility. This is why evil has no power over truth. This does not mean that evil ones will not try to force their control over you of truth. It simply means there is no way that evil can prevail in the presence of truth. A man may well get away with it, get away with the lie or the crime, but it does not mean that the lie is greater than truth. It simply means that someone got away with lying and crimes committed. When joy is reflected from acceptance and acting in responsible ways of heart and soul, you have learned the meaning of Christ. For Christ is not the name of a person or thing. It is the gifted spirit of living soul in light and truth and grace of God. We can only strive for that perfection, but we will always find that if we only strive for and toward that perfection, nothing can long distract our journey's goal. Thank you for sharing some moments of truth in this world of confused illusions, for it will be through the focused thought forms of truth in which goodness can and shall again manifest upon the face of the earth. Salut.
Thank you. I'd like to make just a few comments. And then I'm going to have to own up to the fact that even my speaker has been ill and is sick now, and I better get her out of here before I really cause some trouble. But I want to make some comments about this. Is EJ particularly a wondrous image of pious godliness? Is Dorma, Doris, or you? Will you find skeletons in closets? Very few in this instance, because they've all been exposed, haven't they? Some with permission, some without. All being confronted and responsibility taken. Now, what would cause you to be able to recognize that Doris, especially? Because she speaks, and very frequently people confuse her with me. And then we always have our little laugh about that, because let us consider law in these cases. Can Gene Dixon trust what these tell him, these people? Yes, he can. The lawyers who represent this side of the case can know in everything they do that to the best of these people's ability, they have acted within the law, within honor, with integrity, fiduciary responsibility. And guess what? They will do nothing to reflect on my integrity. And therein you have it. If the one presenting must be the reflection